A t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese, oceans and sunsets. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors looking for a custodian who can help them go further. With all the wealth services, technology, and support an RIA firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabious. Find your match and learn why custody is just the beginning at Schwabious.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC, all part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. That is the mastermind of the pigskin, Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. So much to get to here in this hour on FFC. It is a busy week in the NFL with Conference Championship Sunday, now just 3 days away. Yesterday, the practice reports for the first full day of practice, getting ready for that Sunday doubleheader in conference title matchups. We'll bring you the updates that you need to know. But yesterday, Joe, was also a supremely busy day around the carousel, both coaching carousel and front office executive carousel in the NFL as well. Head coaching hires, GM hires, GM fires, introductory press conferences. So much to break down on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, we saw Ben Johnson, right, make the walk-in. He fist-pumped Caleb Williams, kumbaya, and everything's all well and good. Also, I had a lot to say about Matt LaFleur beating them in the Green Bay Packers two times a year. We'll see how that plays out next season in 2025. Aaron Glenn, new head coach of the New York Jets, and I'm reading reports, which is absolutely mind-boggling, Ben, that potentially the Dallas Cowboys will name Brian Schottenheimer the coach on Friday, no later than Friday. Absolutely absurd. And then Bulky, right? We thought he would be fired probably midseason with Peterson. Peterson gets the axe before Bulky, and now all of a sudden they're both gone, and it's a major rebuild potentially in Jacksonville. So a lot of off-season talk to get involved with, along with two great games and four teams on Sunday.
And we'll talk about those conference championship matchups in just a little bit later in the show. But, Lisi guy, let's start with that big news. And let's start with the new head coach of the New York Jets, former defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, former cornerback for the New York Jets as well, Aaron Glenn, now tabbed as the new head coach of this Jets organization. A deal that was expected was done yesterday, officially announced after four seasons as the DC in the Motor City. And Joe, Aaron Glenn knows this Jets franchise. Was their first round draft pick way back in 1994, spent eight seasons of his NFL career with Gang Green, a two-time Pro Bowler. Lisi, what is your reaction to Aaron Glenn now becoming the new head coach of the New York Jets?
Yeah, I mean, I'd just say same old, Ben, and the reason why I say that, it's not a knock on Aaron Glenn in any capacity. I think Aaron Glenn is deserving to be a head coach in the league. I would see Aaron Glenn maybe a potential better fit with the New Orleans Saints or even the Jacksonville Jaguars, a younger team. The reason why I say that, though, is twofold. You know, he comes into an organization that has huge and high expectations, number one media market. I understand that he played there during his playing days, and he understands, you know, every level of an organization, right? Quality control, the scouting department. But this team is in need, desperately, of a polarizing head coach. I don't want to say a Bill Belichick type, but a domineering type of guy to elevate this team to the next level. And then when you hear reports that, you know, Aaron Glenn wants to keep around Aaron Rodgers, that is the biggest, I want to say, negative in terms of the whole capacity, right? You know, Aaron Rodgers is a cancer to this team. You know, forget the on the field, inside the locker room, and to keep that polarizing player in your locker room to potentially work with him, year number one, is just a recipe for disaster. I just don't see how it plays out to the positive for for Aaron Glenn keeping Aaron Rodgers in that organization in year number one?
Yeah, Joe, I think it will be one of the main topics of conversation, of course, at the introductory press conference for Aaron Glenn, probably tomorrow afternoon at some point. What is your plan at the quarterback position? Have you spoken to your veteran quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, who is now 41 years old? And Joe, when you talk about a similar philosophy for this Jets organization, since the end of the 2000 NFL season, Aaron Glenn is now the seventh head coach to be hired by New York. Obviously, that is not a recipe for success. Seven head coaches in the last 23 years or so. He is also the sixth coach of those seven total hires that is a first-time head coach on the defensive side of the football. The only exception, Adam Gase. And, of course, that wasn't really successful either. But, Lisa, we have seen this scenario. We have seen this mentality and thought process play out with the New York Jets, and it hasn't worked. 14 consecutive seasons missing out on the postseason, by far the longest active drought in the National Football League. Half of those 14 years, the Jets, including this previous one, finished with five wins or fewer. It is an arduous task for Aaron Glenn to overhaul this organization. And part of that is not just on him, it's on who the GM ends up being, and of course, ownership in the Johnson family. I don't think Aaron Glenn is going to be a bad coach. I think Aaron Glenn, by all indications, is a leader of men. Everybody loves working around him. They consider him a very sharp game planner and just a great football leader from what that comes into. I just don't know if the situation in New York is all that promising. It's a head coaching hire. He was one of the hottest candidates in this cycle. I'm not necessarily like, yes, A+.
Yeah, and again, you mentioned all the positives about Aaron Glenn, and, you know, the nucleus of this team is very young, right? You have players like Braylon Allen and Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson, right? And on the defensive side of the ball, Sauce Gardner, and you have those young playmakers that will look up to Aaron Glenn. The problem remains, and this is it, it's a win-now type of team, right? They're in the biggest media market, right? It's go big or go home, right? You have 1 or 2 years to really change that ship and really get them to prominence in the AFC East or a wild card or a playoff contender. And then on top of it, will Aaron Rodgers, you know, respect Aaron Glenn? Because this isn't Jared Goff. I said this, you know, throughout the week. You know, Jared Goff is an understated quarterback, even though he was a Super Bowl quarterback that took his team, you know, against New England. We're talking about a polarizing guy in Aaron Rodgers that wants it his way or no way. And how that's going to fit, how is Aaron Rodgers going to view Aaron Glenn in that situation? Because Aaron Glenn wants to instill his philosophy and he wants to attach it to a veteran quarterback that doesn't want to buy into the team mentality.
I don't think it would be wise for the Jets to keep around Aaron Rodgers this season, even if Aaron Rodgers says that he wants to play football in 2025. I would get rid of him. I would get a free agent quarterback. Maybe you see if Jordan Travis has any moxie left in what he can do. I don't think Aaron Rodgers should be there for the foundational year one of Aaron Glenn's coaching tenure in New York. Joe, you do bring up some good points. There is a lot of young talent in this Jets franchise, on this team, within this roster, both offensively and certainly where Aaron Glenn has made his bacon on the defensive side of the football. Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams, just to name a few in terms of what they have been able to do there in New York. Will McDonald, who had a very promising second year out of Iowa State. But, Lisa Guy, it's been a conversation that Aaron Glenn has even had to speak about. That often now in the innovative system that is the NFL, it's the offensive-minded head coaches that are the most attractive in a job cycle, that lead to the most success instantaneously for those respective franchises, that defensive-minded head coaches are few and far between. Aaron Glenn said, listen, I am a football coach who just happens to be on the defensive side. I sit with the offense. I am there with the offensive schemes. I understand how football as a sport, as a game, is played. And I take him at his word. I just don't think that 2025 will be the season to snap a 14-year playoff drought.
No, I don't believe it will either. I think a better fit would have been Jacksonville with that young talent and all upside. But we'll see how it plays out. It's a huge task to overcome.
It will be fascinating to see what the win total and playoff projection numbers are on the Jets entering Aaron Glenn's first year. More on FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. It was a jam-packed Wednesday around the National Football League in terms of that offseason carousel, both in the coaching ranks. The New York Jets have tabbed Aaron Glenn as their next head coach and in front office positions as well. Joe, you mentioned right before the break that maybe Jacksonville could have been a more desirable locale for Aaron Glenn to get his head coaching start, given that Trevor Lawrence is there. But the Jaguars have not been an attractive spot in this coaching cycle because of one guy, namely general manager Trent Baalke, who after Doug Peterson was fired on the Monday following the regular season, Monday, January 6th, 2024, Trent Baalke was retained. It stunned people around the NFL that the head coach would be out, but the general manager who was embattled would stick around. Well, that all changed yesterday, but too little, too late, perhaps. 16 days after firing Doug Peterson, Trent Baalke also dismissed by the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. Joe, it's a disaster in Duval County, whichever way you slice it.
It is, and again, I say it's attractive because of the talent that's there from an offensive perspective, right? You talk about Trevor Lawrence. Okay, is he an elite quarterback? No, but he's coachable to the point where he's got huge upside, right? And if you can sort of bottle what he had a couple of years ago when they made it to the playoffs and channel that, you're cooking with fire. You have years with potentially a franchise quarterback. You have one of the best wideouts in Brian Thomas that just hit the ground running in his rookie season. Christian Kirk coming back from injury. You have two great running backs in ETN and Tank Bigsby. You have a solid offensive line for the most part. There are pieces there, and you're part of an AFC South that is winnable. We know that Houston has won it in back-to-back years, but again, you know, you can't say that they've been dominant this year, right? They've had injuries as well. So I don't know why, you know, other head coaches don't want to jump in with that type of talent pool to potentially coach it up from an offensive perspective. I understand Baalke has been, you know, maybe the negative, but he also got those players in there. So, you know, you got to take the good, the bad, and the ugly with every situation. Now there should be no reason why a head coach doesn't dive in and take that shot.
Yeah, but who is still left, right? Yesterday, Liam Cohen, who seemed to be the front runner in Jacksonville, removed himself from the conversation. Might Joe Brady, who is still coaching the Buffalo Bills as the OC, be in consideration? Of course, a very bright young offensive mind. We learned that Robert Saleh yesterday, former Jets head coach, was flying into Duval today to have an in-person meeting with Jacksonville tomorrow. Is that pre-Trent Baalke? Is that after the Trent Baalke firing? What exactly are those logistical challenges? Because, Joe, you're right. Baalke made a couple of good decisions, I guess, during his time, his 4 years as the GM in Jacksonville, but he also hired Urban Meyer, so that's a huge stain on anybody's resume. And he was 25-43 during his tenure as the GM. And if you're Shad Khan, the owner of Jacksonville, you certainly deserve some responsibility in this scenario as well. For what reason did it take you nearly 2.5 weeks after you fired a head coach to focus on the future of your franchise when anybody with a pulse around the NFL knew that retaining Trent Baalke would ruin the prospects of your head coaching vacancy? What took you so long to make this move? If I am still a head coaching candidate, yes, I am pleased that Trent Baalke is out the door and I don't have to deal with that sour mess. I'm still not feeling all that optimistic about the overall ground level background in terms of how things are in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we talk about possible candidates, what about Kingsbury and Kellen Moore? I mean, they have to wait till potentially after the NFC Championship. But at the end of the day, I mean, Kingsbury really increased his stock. I know he's only back basically 1 year, but at the end of the day, the way he has cultivated and elevated Jaden Daniels to an NFC Championship in year number one, and you have to give him consideration. And then, you know, Kellen Moore at least has been around multiple programs. Right, in regards to L.A. and Dallas and now what we see in Philadelphia. So, I mean, if you want a young coordinator from an offensive perspective, that would be a way to go alongside Joe Brady. So even though Cohen didn't take the job, and I thought that was a pretty good fit staying in state, there's still the potential to get a young guy in there to work with that talent. Key word there, Ben, in Jacksonville, and tell me if I'm wrong, is young. You need a young coach. You went the more sophisticated veteran way, Urban Meyer, older college coach, Doug Peterson, Super Bowl winning coach, but older. Now's the opportunity to hire a young gun and potentially challenge DeMeco Ryans, right? And obviously Stein in Indy, right? And you have also Callahan with Tennessee. So why not go young in Jacksonville?
As you should, right? And it should, again, be an attractive destination. We can argue where Trevor Lawrence ranks in terms of NFL starting quarterbacks. He is, though, the face of the franchise, and he did get a very large contract extension prior to 2024. He has not been fully healthy, Joe, basically in the last calendar year and a couple of months of change. If he is, there are pieces to like. Brian Thomas Jr., a sensational rookie season. Travis Etienne is still there as well. It should be an attractive spot of the four head coaching vacancies that are still outstanding in the NFL. But now what is the plan? Are you back to where you started? Are you doing this all over again, back to the drawing board? That remains to be seen. I think it's a very fair point, Joe, to talk about some of those coordinators who are still in action during Conference Championship Sunday, especially if the reports we are seeing about Dallas could be true. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Other front office news yesterday, Lisa Guy, two hires made, or one hire made and then one formal introduction. A new general manager in Las Vegas, John Spytek, who worked in Tampa for the better part of the last decade, worked as a part of the organization when Tom Brady, now minority owner in Las Vegas, was there, played on the same college football team as Tom Brady in Ann Arbor as well. We'll talk about the Raiders' decision and what the Titans might do with the number one overall pick as their new GM was introduced yesterday in Nashville. Plenty of more news to break down for you on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Steven. So, Lisa Guy, we're talking about the front office carousel around the NFL. John Spytek, the new GM in Las Vegas with this Raiders organization, and plenty of familiarity with his new minority boss, that being Tom Brady, new minority owner of this Raiders organization. Tom Brady and John Spytek overlapped for a year at Michigan in the late 1990s, Tom Brady's final season in Ann Arbor, Spytek's first as a reserve linebacker on the team, but more recently, Joe, together in Tampa Bay, where Spytek was in some form or capacity since 2016, the previous 2 years, as the assistant GM with the Buccaneers, and was there as a director of player personnel in 2020, of course, when Tom Brady came to Tampa and led the Buccaneers to a Super Bowl championship. So a lot of familiarity between these two close pals and now Spytek, the new GM in Las Vegas.
Yeah, good move. We saw about the personnel, you know, that he was around in regards to Tampa Bay. You know, younger quarterback in Baker Mayfield, consistent professional all-pro in Mike Evans, how they worked and got those defensive pieces in place this year. And just look at what they brought in regards to the young running back talent, Rashad White, and obviously Bucky Irvin that hit the ground running over the past couple of seasons. So at the end of the day, again, you know, I think it's a good hire for Las Vegas. Tom Brady has his footprint on this program and organization right now. Hopefully they could take it and be competitive in the AFC West. It's going to take a lot, I believe, when you just look at the teams around them. Kansas City's going nowhere, L.A. on the upswing, and obviously Denver with Bo Nix and Sean Payton. So, again, you need a winning mentality, especially from the GM perspective, to really elevate this team. Las Vegas has everything you would want. It's got the nightlife. It's got everything that you want. Now they just have to put it together. They've been unable to put it together for multiple years. So now with Tom Brady involved, I think it's a great hire.
Yeah, and Joe, we'll see, because Las Vegas has so many questions to answer. I have talked about this. The Raiders made the Super Bowl in 2002. In the 22 years since then, the Raiders have made two playoff appearances. And in each of those 2 years, seeing the postseason, the only two seasons in this two-decade-plus span, the Raiders have had a winning record above 500. There is a lot that needs to be fixed in Las Vegas. We talk often, Joe, that if you have a franchise that is consistently bad, that consistently fails on expectation, with maybe a few blips on the radar of success, it's not on a front office often. It's not on a coach. It's not on a roster. It's not on a staff. You can look at ownership. We'll see if Mark Davis, with the infusion of Tom Brady and his football expertise and acumen, are making the right decisions. Again, the guy has the pedigree in John Spytek and, of course, the familiarity with Tom Brady. Still outstanding in Vegas, a new quarterback for the season ahead. The Raiders draft sixth overall, so not exactly in prime position to address that within the 2025 NFL draft. And Joe, still a head coach that needs to be hired in Vegas as well.
Yeah, I mean, the coach is really going to be the ultimate, right? You know, like, make it or break it, whether this is a successful season. You need a head coach that can come in there and elevate this team. We thought Antonio Pierce would maintain the momentum that they had when he was there on an interim basis. It looked like early on they were fighting, but at the end of the day, this team just quit, you know, from the middle part on. And again, there's a lack of talent with Davante Adams now gone. The only bright spot for that team as a whole right now is Brock Bowers. So, and Jacoby Myers, yeah, for the most part, you know, so can you build around that? The veteran quarterback, Ben, hasn't worked, right? You know, the Garoppolo and, you know, the other quarterbacks that they have brought in, Derek Carr back in the day, it's not elevating this team anymore, right? You need a young quarterback that hopefully Tom Brady and this staff can mentor to elevate, to challenge the likes of that division, because you're going to need somebody that can really chuck it. Think about it. Herbert, Bo Nix, Mahomes. I mean, you can't have Aiden O'Connell being your signal caller. You just can't.
You certainly cannot. Sorry, I took a sip of my water at a bad time. You certainly cannot move forward with Aiden O'Connell. The Raiders need to address that quarterback position moving forward. How about the new GM in Tennessee, Mike Borgonzi, and what exactly his plans are for the Titans moving forward, who currently, at this moment, have the number one overall pick. Introductory press conference for Borgonzi yesterday in Nashville. Hear what he had to say about that first overall selection next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. Yesterday, Joe, a couple of introductory press conferences. Ben Johnson, of course, is the Bears head coach, and the new general manager in Nashville, Mike Borgonzi, taking over the reins for the Tennessee Titans. An intriguing time to be the new GM of a franchise, Joe, that holds the number one overall pick for the 2025 NFL draft. And Borgonzi was asked about his plans for how the Titans are going to approach that first overall pick, saying, we are not going to pass on a generational talent. And also saying, we are going to turn over every rock to address the quarterback position, the most important in football. Joe, after Borgonzi's press conference, a couple of changing prices for who's going to be that first overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft this upcoming April. Cam Ward was the odds-on favorite, the quarterback out of Miami, still the favorite, but in plus money at plus 105. The Heisman Trophy winner, Mr. Do-It-All Travis Hunter, now only 50 cents behind, moving in front of his Colorado teammate Shedeur Sanders with that second-best number.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because Tennessee has not done a very good job over the past few seasons in terms of scouting quarterback talent. Certainly not with Malik Willis, that's now a backup in Green Bay, and certainly not with the Mayo boy, Will Levis, that they took, right? So here's the thing. When you look at Travis Hunter and you look at the price fluctuation from, where was he, 20-1 to now plus 140 for the overall selection and number one with Cam Ward, it's going to come down to what type of player do you want? You know, they have, if you're Tennessee, well, Calvin Ridley there, right? And you pair him with Travis Hunter, and now all of a sudden maybe you have a dynamic 1-2 combo, and do you go the route of a Sam Darnold as a bridge quarterback with Callahan in terms of year number two? I guess, but, you know, if you have the ability to get Cam Ward and you're Tennessee and, you know, you get him and he's the right guy, now you have the quarterback for the next 4 or 5 seasons, potentially 7 years. So I still would take a quarterback as much as I love Travis Hunter. For Tennessee, they are so many pieces away from turning this around. Better to get the quarterback now than just taking a role player like Travis Hunter, in my opinion.
So, okay, role player might be a
Let me rephrase. Number one wide receiver, like a Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson, all right? I mean, if you have nobody to throw it to him, that's going to be a problem.
Right, yeah. First off, if you have the first overall pick and you are in desperate need of a quarterback and you use it not on a quarterback, I think that's dumb. Trade out of that first overall pick. Recoup a ton of assets in return and then select somebody if you are not sold on any of the quarterbacks in this draft. I still ultimately believe, whether it's Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, a quarterback goes first overall to Tennessee. Always the caveat when you bet these markets, just because you bet on them to go first overall doesn't mean the Titans need to be the team ultimately making that selection in Green Bay come late April. That's where the NFL draft is, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, come late April. I also think it's interesting, Joe, and this will be a part of the conversation in the draft cycle. Do you think Travis Hunter ends up as a wide receiver in the NFL or a corner? I think he's more elite on the defensive side of the football. I think that's where he's better suited. I think he's a great wide receiver. I don't know if he's a differentiator on that side. I think he is as a cornerback.
Yes, but let me ask you this. We also know Travis Hunter, right? He loves to get the notoriety, right? And Sauce Gardner's a lockdown corner, right? I'm just looking at the young guys. J.C. Horn, right? Are they as recognizable as Brian Thomas, Malik Nabers, anybody else you want to throw out there? Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. I know they're all LSU guys, but we're talking about the best wide receivers in the game, right? If you're Travis Hunter, you have the ability. Maybe he's still a little bit raw in terms of the route running ability, but you're talking about a pure athlete. You put him at the wide receiver position in any high explosive offense with an above average quarterback, he's going to get you anywhere from 1,300 to 1,500 yards, right? So I think if I'm a GM, I'm saying, listen, Travis, you're a great dual threat. But you can, you know, number one, your career could be, you know, 10, 15 years as a wideout. Defensive back, you're tackling, you got to go cover. Think about that. I would take him as a wideout and wide receiver. I really would. And I think he's worthy, Ben, you know, of a top five pick as a wide receiver. When you talk about these legitimate playmakers that we've seen, it's a wide receiver game. It is.
Yeah, we'll see. I agree with you. I do wonder what the decision is and where Travis Hunter in NFL draft circles is best suited. Ultimately, Joe, when you think about the Titans, when push comes to shove, late April, they're on the clock, first overall pick if they hold on to it because they have decided they want to make that selection. Do you think it is a quarterback? Do you think it is Cam Ward? Or could it be Shedeur Sanders?
I think it's a quarterback. And I think the success of Jaden Daniels really will make them push that. Even if Daniels gets knocked out this weekend against Philly in the championship game, seeing him come into that organization and elevate them shows the price of having a franchise quarterback. If it was me for Tennessee, I probably would go Shedeur just because I love Cam, but Cam's a little bit shorter. Cam at times throws against his body, which, you know, we've seen him be picked off in the college level. Just think about that at the next level. And if Shedeur can elevate his game with one of the worst offensive lines in college football, that's what you're going to get in terms of the NFL. So I want that guy as opposed to the guy that maybe has a little bit better offensive line and is a little bit shorter. They're splitting hairs, I think, 1 and 1A this year. But I would take Shedeur over Cam Ward.
Yeah, listen, I wonder what that ultimately will be in terms of those quarterbacks against each other and, of course, what the Titans decide to do. I'm not sure who I believe is quarterback number one in this draft class, frankly, and I think it will be interesting to know which team is selecting first, what they decide, knowing the status of Shedeur Sanders and all that he and his father have said about the destination he wants to play in the National Football League. Lisey got introductory press conference for Ben Johnson, who mentioned yesterday in Chicago that one of the defining factors for him in deciding to take the Bears job was the fact he gets to work with the former number one overall pick a year ago in Caleb Williams. Do you think that will be a good partnership in the Windy City?
No, I'm going to say it. Wouldn't it be a shocker if Ben Johnson's an absolute flop? I'm just saying, I just think, here's the thing. Ben Johnson had great success with a Super Bowl appearing quarterback in Jared Goff, one of the best offensive lines in the NFC North. Now, granted, they did that through the draft, right? Ragnow and Sané Poole that they got there, right? But at the end of the day, Penesu, all right. But my point is, is he going to be able to do that with a raw quarterback that can't read coverage right now, that still holds on to the ball too long, an offensive line that's absolutely atrocious in terms of year number one with Caleb Williams? What did he have, 46, 50 sacks allowed in terms of that? One of the worst sack quarterbacks in the NFL. And talent is good, but it's not elite. And think about the teams you got to go up against. Minnesota. Green Bay that you called out, your former team in terms of Detroit, they're not going anywhere. So who's to say that Ben Johnson all of a sudden is going to hit the ground running with a 10-win football team in year number one? I just don't see it. And again, we'll see how great Ben Johnson was from a play-calling perspective with Caleb Williams in that group in year one. If they struggle, it's going to be very difficult, I think, to really get out of the hole. But we'll see.
I think you raised some interesting questions. I do also think, Lisey Guy, what is that Bears win total going to be entering 2025? It was 8.5 this past year. You would expect Ben Johnson and a second-year quarterback in Caleb Williams to be able to elevate that ceiling and become a true playoff contender. We'll see what the expectations are entering this upcoming season. Plenty more on Football Full Circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It's FFC. He's Lisey. I am Ben. All right, Joe, let's talk more about what we have seen around the National Football League and some of those developments that could come our way later this afternoon. Some building reports that the Dallas Cowboys are very close to hiring a new head coach. Yesterday, Brian Schottenheimer, who has worked as the de facto OC with the Cowboys for the previous two seasons, had his second consecutive in-person interview for that vacant head coaching position. And Joe, there are some reports like from Clarence Hill, who has been a longtime Cowboys beat writer there in the greater Dallas area, more than 2.5 decades, that he expects the Cowboys to name Brian Schottenheimer as the head coach by the end of day tomorrow, if not sooner. Brian Schottenheimer might be the new head coach, Joe, of the Dallas Cowboys.
Typical. I start to feel like the Dallas Cowboys are similar to Woody Johnson and the New York Jets. This is just a Jerry Jones type of hire. And people that, and maybe I was wrong, you know, I actually thought in his older age, Jerry Jones wanted to get back to the pinnacle of the NFL. And I thought potentially, you know, maybe Dion could bring him there in terms of at least filling asses in the seats. That's not the case. This is a patsy type of hire, gutless type of hire for Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. You get a guy who didn't even really elevate your offense when he was there with Dak Prescott, and that's when they were healthy. I don't know. Were you wowed by CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott on a consistent basis with yeah. Brian Schottenheimer as the helm? I wasn't. Okay, now you want this guy? And granted, he comes from the pedigree. Marty was his father. We all get that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's a yes guy for Jerry Jones that he could slap yeah. around and just, you know, put a muzzle on him and just shut him down because he might talk too much against the organization or against the family of Jerry. I mean, give me a break. Wake up. You know, Jerry Jones is gutless because if he really wants to win, hire a coach that'll elevate your organization to the next level, guy. I don't care how much money you have.
Does he really want to win?
No.
Or does he just want to be in control and feel as though he is the smartest man in the room with the biggest you-know-what, which is probably not the case?
Lisa, but he can act. But hang on, he can act. I forgot. Yeah. Acting like himself. Big shot.
Good on land, man. Really good on land, man. Brian Schottenheimer, longtime NFL coach, of course, comes from the coaching pedigree. His father, Marty Schottenheimer, one of the more successful head coaches in the regular season in NFL history. 14 years officially for Brian Schottenheimer as an offensive coordinator in the NFL in a variety of places. 6 years with the New York Jets, 3 years with the St. Louis Rams, 3 years with the Seattle Seahawks in these previous two seasons in Dallas. But Joe, he wasn't really the offensive coordinator. He was probably a part of helping the offensive schemes in deciding which play should be called. But Mike McCarthy was the play caller on the offensive side of the football. This would just be further proof. The fact it has even reached this stage, Joe, even if for some reason Brian Schottenheimer is not named the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, it is just further proof that Jerry isn't loyal to his guys, that Jerry Jones isn't a shrewd businessman guiding America's team. Jerry Jones is greedy. Jerry Jones is power hungry. Jerry Jones wants to be in full control, and Joe will hire a guy to serve, aptly as you said, as a yes man to follow the Joneses family's vision of how the Cowboys should be run, not be innovative, and certainly not at least make it back to an NFC championship game.
This is like the Steinbrenners with the Yankees, right? You know, where George had a vision, and now you see, you know, where the organization is, and maybe they'll get back on the pinnacle, but they haven't done it since 2011. Same thing with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, Jerry, you know, wants a yes guy, and Jerry has an ego the size of what? The Statue of Liberty. I mean, we know it. He wants to be known for all the recognition, and they've made some smart moves. But the head coach is the most important. You need a guy from a scheming standpoint to go up against some of these young guns, and not just in terms of the NFC East, but just in the NFC as a whole. And you're not doing it. Your team is regressing, and now you want this guy. This guy's a complete hack. I'll say it right now. I mean, Schottenheimer has none. I wouldn't want Schottenheimer over any of the young coordinators. Johnson. I would even take Slowick. I would take Kingsman. I would take anybody over Schottenheimer. But again, we'll see how this plays out. But again, 500 at best, yet again, for the Dallas Cowboys.
We thought, Joe, we really thought that maybe even Kellen Moore, who at least has been an attractive head coaching candidate at various stops and is a little bit more on the younger, innovative side, would be the guy. Not the case, it does appear. Lisa guy elsewhere around the NFL. We'll see what happens with the other head coaching jobs in Jacksonville, in Las Vegas, and of course with the New Orleans Saints, who seem to miss out on the running for Aaron Glenn. Before we talk about Conference Championship Sunday in just a moment on the other side, confirmed today, Joe, Bill Belichick's contract made official. He has signed it. It is out. It is public because he works for a public university. He will receive compensation of $10 million annually, a base salary of $1 million, and bonuses that get him up to $9 million. There are bonuses for making the college football playoff, bowl games, and even elite non-CFP games like the Pop-Tarts Bowl, for instance. But Joe, Bill Belichick officially has signed his contract as North Carolina's head coach.
Yeah, and I think he's on the sidelines week one in Chapel Hill, and we'll see how that plays out. I said, what, September 20th against Scott Frost and UCF should be an interesting game with two coaches, you know, one back at their old place and one in new pastures in terms of Chapel Hill. But again, can he elevate this program higher than what Mac Brown took? Well, we'll see. They went from one coach to an older coach. But at least the older coach won six Super Bowls with the Patriots, so maybe he could bring an ACC championship and a playoff appearance to the Tar Heels.
7.5 remains that win total for UNC. Still a lot to figure out in Chapel Hill. Let's talk Conference Championship Sunday. A quick preview of both matchups before a Football Friday. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Let's get you ready for Conference Championship Sunday, now just 3 days away. Lisi guy on a Wednesday afternoon, that being yesterday. First really day of full practice for everybody that is still competing in Conference Championship Weekend. And when I say full, I'm not talking like pads are popping Oklahoma drills like it's the end of July, but a full day of practice to get everybody back on the turf and ready for a new week. Basically, run-throughs, walk-throughs, whatever you want to call it. But, Joe, a time to see what the injury report was stating for the significant players. For the Philadelphia Eagles, Jalen Hurts, limited participant. Quinyon Mitchell, limited participant, dealing with a shoulder injury. A did-not-practice tight end Dallas Goedert and starting center Cam Jurgens. Now I see the face, right? Of course, we expect everybody that is not dealing with a season-ending injury to be out there, even if not at a fully 100% level come Sunday. But Lisi guy, what is your concern level over the left knee injury of Jalen Hurts?
Well, I mean, mobility is always a concern, right? And obviously the cold weather here in the Northeast, you know, whether it's a little tight come game time remains to be seen. Does he wear a brace? I'd be concerned in terms of the RPO game, you know, to really put pressure on Washington. And why do I say that? Because if you watch that last game, the game that they lost, right, the game that he was knocked out, Jalen Hurts was making plays with his legs. You know, it wasn't just Saquon Barkley. It was Jalen Hurts, you know, utilizing his legs in terms of that RPO game, and he gets knocked out of that game in terms of the first half, and they wound up losing it in a high-scoring affair. You're going to need that type of mobility, especially with the chips on the line. This is an NFC championship. So, obviously, I think he plays. I don't think there's any doubt he doesn't. But which is, right, you know, which is limitations? Is he 80%? Is he 90? I guess we'll see come game time, but I wouldn't be betting on his rushing prop total anytime soon. I would take a shot, potentially tush push, and anytime touchdown. That being a side bet, it'll be a very difficult matchup. I really believe that. This is the third time that they've met, and you know I can't go against the family of the desk on Pro Football Today, but I, you know me, go big or go home. I'm taking my guy, Jaden Daniels. You don't need tomorrow or, you know, over the weekend. I'm coming right out and saying it. I want those points with the Commanders.
Yeah, I know you do, and I know it's going to be a tense Sunday on Pro Football Today, getting ready for that matchup. Still 6.5-point spread in favor of the Eagles, despite 70% of the bets in terms of the spread on those Commanders. 47.5 is the total. By the way, just some injury news for the Commanders. Limited at practice yesterday, Olamide Zaccheaus did not practice. A couple of staples of the defense, Bobby Wagner, Deron Payne, and Zach Ertz also did not participate. Of course, the former Philadelphia Eagle. Again, as we have shared, unless there is a pre-existing season-ending injury, even if you are a limited participant at practice or a DMP for a couple of days, more than likely, unless it's truly known, you are going to be out there. Let's do the same thing in the AFC, Joe. Taylor Rapp probably out for the season with a hip injury that did not look very good on Sunday night. Teron Johnson was a full participant at practice yesterday for Buffalo. For the Chiefs, they're pretty healthy entering Sunday's tilt inside Arrowhead. And Lisi, it's basically a pick'em. Who do you give the early edge to in that AFC Championship game in KC on Sunday night?
I mean, edge, you got to give it to Kansas City because, again, until Josh Allen and the Bills upset the Kansas City Chiefs, you give the edge to Pat Mahomes and the best team in the AFC, the number one seed, right? I mean, there's just no denying it. They've been there, and Pat Mahomes has been in the AFC Championship game since he was there under center back 6 years ago. So 7 years ago, at the end of the day, that doesn't mean they can't be upset. They're going to have to bring their A game, and it all comes down to the quarterback on the other side. Can Josh Allen single-handedly take the game over, not just with his arm, but with his legs?
It's going to be a quarterback matchup, Joe, that, of course, we pay attention to. It will be the fourth time in the previous five postseasons that Kansas City and Buffalo have met in the playoffs. In the prior three, it's been all Kansas City. Perfect. 3-0 straight up and 3-0 against the spread. We'll break down the matchups. We'll talk about the numbers for Conference Championship Sunday on a Football Friday tomorrow on FFC. He'll be here, I think. That's the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. No confirmation. Not a great sign. I'll be here. I am Ben Stevens, starting at noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio. We'll talk to you all tomorrow.